days in middle of the page. If you look on the right side, no, Chav Zayin of Moed Katan, Chav Zayin Amid Beis, even with the tesis that starts the word Aval, the third tesis, even with that in the Gemara. Okay, Amir Rabbi Yechanan said, this is very interesting, simple Gemara, by the way. Amir Rabbi Yechanan said, Aval Kivin Shana Nea Reishay, once the mourner, we're speaking about people that are coming to comfort the mourner. Once the mourner, once the mourner nods his head, as if to show, you know, it's enough. The comforters are no longer permitted to sit next to him. In other words, people are coming to comfort the mourner. So there's two explanations over here in the Rishonim. Some Mefarshim learn that once the mourner indicates by nodding his head that, listen, you comforted me already, now it's time to get out. Well, other Mefarshim learn, but you know, the guy needs a break from all the people coming. So as soon as he nods his head as if to say, you're done, then the people have to leave. They're not allowed to hang around because then it's only a bother. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Hakol Chayavim Lami Bnei Anasi. When a Nasi walks into a room, Nefarshim explained, it doesn't only mean the leader of the Jewish people. Any scholar that walks into the room, you're supposed to stand up. Chutz mi Aval V'chayla. Except a person who's in Shiva, a person who's mourning does not stand up when a scholar walks into the room, or a person that's ill. Okay? A person is not obligated, the person who's sick, because it's not considered a person who is sick, it's not considered respect if he stands up for a person. Because it's like he's sick. I mean, you know, let the guy sit. So the din is, and in fact, there's two opinions in the Rishonim over here. Some Rishonim learn that he doesn't have to stand. But if he wants to stand, he's allowed to. Another poskim write, no, he's talking not allowed to stand. So there's two opinions in what Rabbi Yechon himself means about standing up, if he's obligated or he's not allowed to stand up.
The choler or the mourner?
No, either one.
Either one shouldn't stand up, the mourner and the...
No, one opinion in the... Rabbi Yechon says they don't have to stand up. So somebody Shainim learned, in fact Rashi in a different place learns like that. Rashi says, Avulim amdu amdu. In other words, they don't have to stand up, but if they stand up, they stand up. Other Rishonim learn, no, they're not allowed to stand up. They taka shouldn't stand up. But Amar Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Yechanan says there's another thing which also people are unaware of, this din. Lakel emim lam shuv, you could tell everybody to be seated after standing. Chutz me ava v'chelem. Except a mourner and a person, in other words, if they got up for whatever reason is, you're not supposed to tell them to sit. Now, one reason is the fact that they didn't have to stand, so therefore they're not, they don't have to stand, you don't have to tell them to sit. But other mefarshim learn like this, it's not right, and this is by the way brought down in Halacha. You know, sometimes you want to leave, you're comforting the mourner in the shiva call, and then you want to go, but the guy is still standing. So you tell me, do me a favor, sit down. I want to, you know, say, Hamakim Yenachem, I want to comfort you. The Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. Because you're basically telling the guy, okay, it's good that you're sitting in Shiva, you know. Or when you tell a guy who's sick, sit, you basically tell him, I'm happy you're sick. I mean, it's just not nice to tell a guy, sit, as if to say, okay, you know, sit Shiva. It's not the proper thing to do.
Sometimes they don't know the din and they keep getting up for people. Should you tell them you shouldn't be getting up?
They could be told they're not supposed to stand up. Not long ago, I went to pay a shiva call, and the people stood up, and they told them, you're not supposed to stand up, you're supposed to sit. No, people just don't know. I mean, you know, they don't know the Gemara, what can you do?
They want to give you respect.
I understand. You're supposed to, but the Gemara says you don't. Okay, then he says like this. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Aval Yom Rishon, the morning, on the first day of mourning, also lechol lechem mishalei. He's not allowed to eat his own bread. In other words, and also this, everything we're learning here, there's so many arguments in the Rishonim how to define these various meanings of the sayings of the Gemara. We know when you come back from a funeral, somebody else brings you eggs and bagels. In fact, the halacha is, you're not supposed to have your own food. That's what the Gemara says. You're not allowed to eat your own food. It has to be somebody else's food. Now, the Rishonim write about it. If nobody brings you food, you don't have to starve to death. But they're saying, it should not be your own meal. That's why it was called the Sudas Avraah, the first meal after a funeral for a relative. Somebody else is supposed to bring you the food. And we'll soon see why. So the Gemara says, where do we learn it out from? Hashem said to Yecheskel Hanavi, Lechem Anoshim Leisechel, you should not eat the bread of other people. What happened with Yecheskel is like this. Hashem told Yecheskel that his wife is going to die, but they shouldn't keep any laws of mourning. Hashem told Yecheskel, the prophet, your wife is going to die, but I don't want you to keep any laws of mourning, for whatever reason. So the fact that Hashem said to Yecheskel, you should not eat bread of other people, that means other mourners do have to eat bread of other people. Now, what is the reason for this is? The reason for this is, if the person brings his own food, if the mourner has his own food, he might not eat. You know, he's so distraught, he might not eat. When other people bring you food, they're going to make sure you eat. They're bringing food, they're going to say, okay, here, I brought you the food, eat. So that's the reason. We learned that from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, you should not eat other people's bread, which means every other mourner has to eat other people's bread. But the reason for that, the Mefarshim explain, that we want to make sure he eats. And therefore the halacha is not allowed to eat your own food. But halacha says, what happens if nobody brings you food? You don't have to starve to death. You can make your own food and eat it. Okay, then the Gemara continues and says like this. Rabbi and Rav Yosef, the two sages, Mechafas, who dies to La Dodi. That one of them was in mourning, the other one brought him a meal. When the other one was in mourning, the other one brought him a meal. So they used to exchange meals at the time of that they were never ate their own food. Okay. Now, the Rishonim see an interesting concept over here. And that is, now, by the way, one thing that Taisa said, I forgot to mention this before. Taisa says, it's not only the first meal that you have to eat somebody else's, the whole first day. But that's not... that's not the halacha. And the halacha is not like Taisa's, but the halacha is, it's only the first meal. But otherwise, you know, you can eat your own meal. But this then is, that this is only the Rishonim right, that they never made a condition, I'll give you a meal and you give me a meal. Because if they make that condition, it's like your own food. If I make a condition with you, you give me food and then I'll give you food. So your food is my food and my food is your food. So then you're not eating somebody else's food, you're eating your own food. So Rabbi Aviyasev, the Rishonim right, didn't make a condition. They just did it, but there was no condition. So therefore it's considered somebody else's food. Then the Gemara says, Amr Rav Yud, said the name of Rav, Meis Be'ir. If there's a dead person in the city, Kol B'nei Ha'ir, Asuyim Basiyas Malach. The whole city is forbidden to work until after the funeral. Now, what's the purpose of this? Why is the halacha that you're not allowed to work? Nobody in the city is allowed to work until the funeral. They want to make sure the person gets buried properly. Okay, so if they forbid work, then everybody will go help in the funeral procedures, you know, preparation for the funeral. Don't forget, they have to dig the grave and the shrouds. I mean, they have to do everything themselves. So the Gemara says that if the whole city doesn't work, so then we know the person's going to get a proper burial.
They'll push it up as soon as possible.
They will. But therefore, nowadays, as the Gemara is going to learn soon, we'll see soon in the Gemara, that if you have a Chevra Kadisha that takes care of it, then people are allowed to work. And that's today. The whole LA doesn't stop working every time somebody dies. I mean, you never work. Okay, then the Gemara says, Rav Hamnuna ikla l'dramusa. Rav Hamnuna once came to the city of Dramusa. Shama kol shipurid the shikhva. He heard a sound of the trumpet. In the old times, if somebody died, how did they let people know? They used to blow a trumpet. It was like a funeral cry. And then everybody knew that the person died. So what happened? He saw people were working, which was against the din we just learned, that the whole city is not allowed to work. So Rav Amnuna was upset with these people. And he said, may these people, meaning he says, you are excommunicated, because you went against the Chachamim. The rabbi said, you're not allowed to work, and you guys are working, so he excommunicated all the people working. So what happens? I skipped the line. So he said, isn't there that person in the town that needs to be buried? Why are you guys working? Why aren't you going help the, you know, the funeral? They said, what are you talking about? There are different societies in the city. So in other words, he is being taken care of by his society. So therefore, we're allowed to work. That's what they answered Rav Amnuna. Amalahu, so he said to them, Ihachi, if that's the case, Shari Yaluchu. Two meanings. Number one, the excommunication is off. Secondly, you're not allowed to work, because there are other people taking care of the funeral. In fact, there's a very interesting din. It's called an Einain. An Einain is from the time of death until the funeral. The mourner, you know, the person that has to be mourning, is called an Einain. Now, according to Halacha, an Einain is freed from all mitzvahs. In technical Halacha, he doesn't put on tefillin, he doesn't daven, when he eats, he doesn't make a bracha. No mitzvahs. One of the reasons why the Torah frees the person from his obligation of mitzvahs, because the Torah wants the person to be involved in the burial. You know, therefore, the only concern is the burial. Therefore, nowadays, where you have a mortuary and they take care of it, and you, so it still says people that are still involved, you know, with the preparations and the organization of it, not the chevek, even the family. The family who is busy still dealing with the Chavei Kaddishah, you know, the times and the plots, and the, also freed from mitzvahs. Then the Gemara says, there's another interesting din. Amar Yudam Rav, and this also people don't know. Kalam Miskash Al Mesa Yesim Idai. This is a very sharp expression. Whoever grieves too much over their relative who dies, Almeis Acher Hubecha, Hashem curses him, there's going to be another dead body you're going to have to cry over. And as the Gemara is going to explain the levels of mourning. But the Gemara says, if you cry too much, God says, what do you think? I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm going to punish you, you're going to have to cry over another dead body. And the Gemara says a story. There was a certain woman in the neighborhood of Rav Huna. She had seven sons. One of them died. One of the seven sons. She lost one of her kids. She cried excessively. She cried too much. Shalach Rali Rav Huna. So Rav Huna sent the following message. He was the Rav, so he sent a message to her. Don't do this. You don't cry too much. You're going to make problems for yourself. She didn't pay attention to him. She kept on crying. Shalach Lei, he sent her again a message. Eat Saista, if you listen to me, mut of good. Eli, if not, tzav is avadoch liidoch. Get the shrouds ready for your next kid. This is what he told her. It's very sharp. He said, either stop crying, and if not, get the shrouds ready, because another kid of yours is going to die, like we just learned in the Gemara. What happened? She didn't care. Miss another son died. And the same thing repeated itself again and again. They all died. All seven sons died. The Seif Amala, at the end, Rav Huna said to the lady again, Timesh Zavada Lanafshich. You know what? She was still crying excessively. So Rav Huna said, you know what? Get your own shrouds ready. Umis and the lady died. Okay, and the Gemara is going to explain, so to speak, the source of all this stuff. Now,
what is, because I know this is a full 12 months or 11 months.
Well, the Gemara is going to explain, the Gemara is going to ask soon, how does it work? How does the, you know, the crying work? But the bottom line is, when a person cries too much, it's like you're complaining against God. The God doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, so, why should that result in the death of somebody else?
Oh, so then Rashi says, what happens does, so then you're crying too much. God says, 1 minute, let me see who you are. Let me see your deeds. You're complaining against me that I'm no good? Okay, now I'm going to judge you properly.
Okay.
Now, the Rambam writes in Halacha, the Rambam writes, and trust me, I don't have a problem understanding it myself, but the Rambam writes that if a person is bad, their young children die for the sin of parents, because the fact that they're not adults yet, with their own maturity and understanding and their own life yet, so they are basically properties of the parents. This is what the Rambam says. They're the nechosim of the parents. And then if the parents don't behave properly, they lose their children. So what happened over here, it's obviously these are kids that were young, not over bar mitzvah. The fact that they were young kids, and she cried too much, meaning she's saying, God, what did you do? You had no right to do what you did. So Hashem says, 1 minute, let's take a look at you. Maybe I did have a right. And Hashem says, you know, lady, you deserve that another kid die. And another kid die. Because obviously she wasn't behaving properly.
She deserved it. The children deserved it.
So this is the second issue. You know, but the Rambam says, the fact is, whatever it means, I said I don't understand it myself. But the Rambam does say the expression that the person's young children under Bar and Bas Mitzvah are their properties. And therefore, they will die for the sin of the parents.
He wasn't dead yet.
Oh, the Gemara is going to say this soon. Yeah, but Hitaka wasn't dead, and therefore... Right.
But that was over mourning, they were saying.
Yeah, well, Yaakov Avinu mourned for 22 years.
Yeah, that's...
In fact, the Mefarshim over there ask a question. The fact that Yaakov didn't forget about it, that itself should have caused Yaakov to realize Yosef was alive. The Mefarshim ask a very simple question. The Gemara says, after 12 months, God makes you forget to a certain extent about the deceased. Therefore, you don't keep crying, right? But it says, so how did Yaakov mourn for 22 years? Because that was only on dead people. But Yosef was alive. So the decree of Hashem that you should forget about it never existed. So therefore, Yaakov mourned for 22 years. So the commentaries ask, that itself should have proven to Yaakov that Yosef was alive. I forgot what the answer. But the Mefarshim Chumash asked the question. Okay, now the Gemara says, where do we learn this out from that you shouldn't cry too much? So Gemara says, it says in the Pasuk, Al Tivku Lemes, don't cry for a deceased, Val Tanudole, and don't shake your head for him.
Which,
I mean, you know, like complaining to God. Okay? Now, the Gemara says, Ketzad, you know, how that's the Gemara interprets it. Al Tivku Lemes, Yesim Midai, what it means is, you can't, the Pasuk can't mean don't cry. I mean, it's natural to cry. So what does the Pasuk mean, don't cry for the dead? It means don't excessively cry. V'lo tegmudel yeisim mikashim, more than the amount. So the Gemara says, okay, Tzad. So how much is the mourning period according to the Torah? It says, shleishi yamam lepchi, the first 3 days is for crying, for weeping. Then, shiva lehespid, 7 days for lamenting. It's not 3 and 7, it's three and then 4 more. Shleishim, 30 days, legiot for the taspedis, no pressing clothing and hair cutting, which is during the shleishim. Mikan ve'elach, afterwards, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hashem says, Yatim rachmane be'yesim imeni, don't be more compassionate than I am. Meaning, Hashem says, after 12 months, don't have more pity on the dead than I do. Meaning, what is the Gemara saying? Hashem says, if I take him away, he was supposed to die. It's better for him, whatever the situation is, but the person was supposed to die. So Hashem basically gives us 30 days of mourning. Now, the Mefarshim explain that this is for all the other relatives. For parents, it's taka a year. But all the other relatives, after 30 days, there's no more mourning. That's it. The only relatives that you have 12 months of avelut, of mourning, is her parents. Even, God forbid, if a parent loses a child, it's only 30 days. Spouse, 30 days. Brothers and sisters, 30 days. That's it. The only relative which is 12 months, if a child loses a parent, then there's 12 months of mourning. That's it. Okay, then the Gemara says, it continues in that pasuk, it says, "Bechu bochel lahelech," cry intensely for the one who leaves. Okay, that's the pasuk. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, it refers to lahelech b'lei banim. To somebody who leaves the world without sons, that's when you're not supposed to cry too much. I mean, sorry. Then you could cry more. If somebody leaves over a child, so there's an extension of the parent. If he dies without children, then you can cry a lot, the Torah says. And the Gemara Taka says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would never visit, one second, the house of a mourner, only if the guy died without children. Any guy that died and left over children, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would not go pay a shiva call.
Banim is male, or it's total children?
Let's leave it to children.
A couple of weeks ago, he said it's harder to lose a child that has children.
The what?
It's harder for a person to lose a child that is married that has children already, rather than a child that is not married and has children.
No, I'm sorry, but the person who dies if he doesn't have children. Not the child who has children doesn't. No, I'm just saying, if the mourner, if a guy died and doesn't have any children, for him you could cry because there's no legacy.
But
there's nobody remaining. One second. There's nobody remaining. But if the guy, that's what Reb Shua ben Levi felt, the only real mourning that he went to pay a shiva call, condolence call, was when the person died without children.
Oh, yeah, that's the parent. The parent is, for parents, harder to yeah.
The question about that, if he says banim, if I learn it like I understand it, that's meaning that someone can say Kaddish on him, that's the reason for him to go, to say Kaddish.
No, he didn't have to say Kaddish.
Just to
what happens if somebody, God forbid, dies without kids?
Someone needs to
say sometimes there's no Kaddish. A guy dies all alone and there's nobody... I'll give you a simple example.
No,
Rashi says in Chumash. No, Rashi says in Chumash, and the pasuk says, what happens if a guy has no relatives? So Rashi says, how do you have a Jew that doesn't have relatives? Every Jew eventually goes all the way back to Yaakov Avinu. I mean, we're all related. No, the laws of inheritance works like that. So it says in Rashi in Chumash, where how do you have a Jew that has no relatives? There's only one example.
A convert.
A guy who becomes a Jew. Never marries, so he has no relatives. He's the only Jew that can't have any relatives. I mean, that doesn't. I mean, I can't. If he marries, he has relatives, but he doesn't have any relatives. Rav Huna says in a different interpretation. In other words, the pasuk that says cry intensely for one who leaves, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rav Yehuda say it means a person who dies without children. Rav Huna says. And it means somebody else. It refers to a Jew who sins and doesn't do tshuva. And he keeps sinning. That guy, he says, you should cry a lot for. Because he hasn't. If a guy dies without tshuva, okay? Meaning, he goes and goes. But in fact, some of our Shemuel is not even speaking about a guy who died. He says, who should you cry over? A guy that sins and sins and sins and never does tshuva.
Well, a person doesn't cry over a dead. Because
yeah, I'm saying, according to Rav Huna, it doesn't even mean about a person dying. It means dumb. A guy who sins a lot, you should cry over him because look what's happening to him. And the Gemara says, Rav Huna l'taymei, Rav Huna according to his own reason. This is a very famous Gemara. Damer Ravuna says, Kivin Shaver Adam Aveda. Vishanaba, when a person commits a sin and then keeps repeating it, Hutale becomes permitted. So the Gemara right away says, Hutta Saukadaitach, I mean, the sin becomes permitted? What are you talking about? He said, no. Nas is like, it becomes as if it's permissible. Meaning like this, in human nature, and this is a very important concept in Chassidus brings us down about. When a person does what an Aveda wants, they feel guilty. the more they do the Aveda, the less guilty they feel. Right? So what does it mean? If you don't feel guilty about it, it's like in your mind, it's like not even an Aveda anymore. Therefore, Chassidus explains, as long as a guy who sins feels guilty about it, it's okay. The problem is when you sin so much you don't even feel guilty over it, that's when you have a problem. So this is what Rav Huna's opinion. Rav Huna says a guy that keeps sinning the same sin and doesn't even feel guilty about it, him you have to cry over because he's never going to do tshuva. Why should he do tshuva if there's no guilt? As long as there's guilt, there's tshuva. No guilt, there's no tshuva. So why should he do it?
How about to buy a person who's living to buy a plot for himself? Is this a good of a long life?
That's what they say.
How about learning about learning?
When you learn about, at least when you die, we'll know what to do. The deceased will know what to do when he dies. No, that to my knowledge, that doesn't say anywhere. It says if you buy a plot, it's a school to live long. There was this guy that had very bad mazel. Whatever he did became a wreck. Any business he touched went in the red, you know? So somebody suggested to him he should open a mortuary, because then nobody would die. With his mazel, with his mazel, nobody would die. He wouldn't have any business. So they told him, why don't you open a mortuary? Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Amr Ablevi, Ablevi says, and this is also a very interesting word that needs to be understood. Ablevi says, Avol Shleshi Yamer Rishenim, the first 3 days of mourning, a mourner should appear to himself, Kilo Cherev Munachse Ben Shteyer Chesef, that a sword is lying between his feet. Some people say it's not feet, thighs, but shoulders. Meaning, if somebody dies, you should be nervous the first 3 days. Because once the Malach HaMavis has the ability to hit your family, you know, lightning strikes twice. So it said the first 3 days, the relatives should be fearful, like a sword is hanging over the head. Mishloisha v'ad shiva, from 3 days to 7 days after the person dies, kilo menachas kenegde b'keden davis, as if the sword is lying in the corner, meaning it's not over your head, but it's still in the room. Mikan ve'elach, afterwards, kilo ivad is connected b'shuk, as if it's passing in front of him in the street, meaning it's distant from him.
So but still here.
It's still here, yeah. In other words, like it says, once death has been visited on one family member, all the surviving members are in danger of being stricken. So therefore, what does it mean? They should do tshuva. That's what the Gemara is saying. You should do tshuva and make sure that the whole concept of, I remember when the Rebbe's brother-in-law was sitting shiva, then it became, the Rebbe spoke about it many, many times, but then it wasn't so common. When the Rebbe's brother-in-law was sitting shiva, he lost a parent, so the Rebbe wanted to be Menachem Avol him, upstairs, and so he lived on the third floor in 770. So a few brachim got in, I happened to get in there. So the Rebbe's brother-in-law asked the Rebbe a very interesting question. Said, if a Jew believes everything God does is divine providence, what is the whole concept of shiva? If a Jew is supposed to accept whatever God does, and whatever God does is good, so why do we sit shiva? So the Rebbe said to him that the shiva is not for the person who died. The person who died is in Gan Eden, Hashem did it to them, and it's better for them, and whatever it is. The whole concept of avelus, of mourning, is, as the Rebbe quoted later, the pasuk, hachayitein alibe, meaning for the people that are alive, to realize that just like this person died, nobody lives forever, so therefore, do tshuva. So the mourning is not for the deceased, the mourning period is for the people that are alive, that they should do tshuva. Because, you know, who knows when we're going to go. So this is what the Gemara is saying over here. The Blavi is saying, if somebody dies the first 3 days, when it's closer to home, you better really do tshuva. Because, you know, there's a mourning period for you. The sword is right over your head. You know, you better watch every action that you're doing. Because the sword can drop at any moment. After 3 days, so it's in the corner. After that, it's like in the street. But people have to be careful to know that, you know, the concept of avelus is for the person to do tshuva, not for the deceased. Okay, then the Gemara says, we learned before in the Mishnah, that if somebody dies in Chol HaMoed, or Yom Tif, and you do the funeral on Chol HaMoed, you don't put the bed in the street. Why? Because that awakens eulogies, and in Yom Tif you're not allowed to do eulogies. Okay, so therefore you just take the bed straight out to the cemetery. And then the Gemara says, for women, you never do it. And we learned before, because some blood might be coming out, and they'll get it, it's not dignified for the deceased.
What about the one that you said, the candle underneath them smells? Well,
one second. The Gemara says, the people of Nadoi said, the Shana of this then only applies Elachaya, a woman who gave birth. Meaning if she died in childbirth, so then out of respect to the corpse, you don't put it down. But all the other women, Manichim, you could put them down. While they eulogize them in the street. Rabbi Lozer, amen. Rabbi Lozer says no. Afilu Shar Noshim, even the other women, you're not allowed to do it. Why? Because it says, "Vatam Sham Miriam Ati Kaveh Sham." This is this week's parsha we just read, right? Parsha's no, this is coming parsha.
Yeah.
Chukas. In fact, there's these few things. It says over here, "Vatam Sham Miriam." Miriam died, and she was buried there. So the Gemara learns, "Samach Lemisa Kvura." What does the pasuk say? She died, and they buried her, which implies they buried her immediately without any breaks. Which teaches us, the Gemara says, you see that Rabbi Lozer says, even though Miriam didn't give birth then, Miriam was an old lady, she didn't give birth, she was 125 when she died, because she was 5 years older than Moshe, so she died at 125, so when she died, obviously she wasn't giving birth, yet they didn't put down the bed. So therefore, Rabbi Lozer says, no women do you put down the coffin in the street. The first opinion says only women that die in childbirth you don't put it down, but every other woman you do. Rabbi Lozer says nobody, and the proof is from Miriam. V'amar Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Lozer continues, this is also Rashi in today's Chumash. Af Miriam b'neshika mesa. Miriam died with a kiss from Hashem. Meaning like this, it's a Gemara. The Gemara says six people did not die with the angel of death. Who were they? Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. These six. The patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. They didn't die with the angel of death, they died directly from God. Okay? Now, by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in the Pasuk, Al Pi Hashem. Al pi Hashem, v'tamei shemesha al pi Hashem. What does it mean, al pi Hashem? Literally means, and the word of God's mouth. But it says, al pi Hashem means, God actually, the mouth of God, God kissed it. What does this mean? So the Mefarshim explained a very simple concept. These neshamas had such a perfect life in the body, you know, with the observance of Torah mitzvahs and no sin, the neshamas refused to leave. The neshama said, why should we leave the body? Look what we're accomplishing. How did God get the neshama to leave? God revealed such a great level of godliness to the neshama, that the neshama was like in awe of what it's going to get now with godliness, so the neshama left the body. That's the concept of a kiss. A kiss represents a tremendous revelation of love. So that what it means, it doesn't mean God has a mouth and he kissed them. Okay? It means that Hashem revealed a great level of godliness to persuade the neshama to leave the body. So Rabbi Lazar says, Miriam also died with a kiss. But it's not nice to say Hashem kissed her, because Hashem usually is looked at as the male versus the Miriam the female. So therefore he says like this, Af Miriam ben Ashika Meser. Rabbi Lazar says, Miriam also died with a kiss. Why? Because it says, As Yisham Shami Mesh. By Miriam it says the word Sham, and by Moshe it says the word Sham. So therefore, just like by Moshe, he died with a kiss, so did Miriam. I mipnei malei namer ba'al pi Hashem. So why doesn't it say that she died with the mouth of God like it says by the others? Mipnei shegnai ha'dava la'ayme, it's not nice to use the expression that God kissed Miriam. So therefore it doesn't say it. Then
why not?
Because it's not in a refined language, so to speak, to say God kissed a woman. Again, God is not a person, but he's looked at as the male, so it's not nice. Then the Gemara says, Amr Rabami, Rabami says, this is also brought down in today's parsha. Lama nismachamisis Miriam, the parsha's potter. If you look in this week's parsha, the beginning of the parsha talks about the red heifer, the paraduma, and then right away it says Miriam died. What's the connection? In turn, when things are brought next to each other, then it's connected. What's the connection between paraduma, the red heifer, and Miriam's death? To tell us, Leimelach ma paraduma mechaperes, Josik paraduma. Josik, the red heifer, does forgiveness, meaning it atones for the sin of the golden calf. The same thing, Misos and Shal Tzadikim Mechaperes. The same thing, the death of Tzadikim also forgives. When Tzadikim pass away, it forgives the sin of the generation. And Taisa says, what Paraduma Mechaperes? What did Paraduma do? It forgave the mice of the eagle. It forgave the golden calf. Because, in fact, I think we mentioned it this morning. Rashi says in the Chumash, Rashi brings on from the Medrash, why, what's this paraduma concept? It says, when a kid makes a mess, you tell the mother, go clean up the mess. If the kid can't clean up the mess, what do you do?
Huh? We talked about it last week.
We mentioned it this morning. The kid makes a mess, the mother cleans up. An eagle, the calf, is a baby cow. So the Jews sin with the eagle. So Hashem says, let the mother, let the butter come and clean up the mess. So it says.
So what's the connection to
the?
Huh? To Miriam as a tzaddik is.
No, so it says, just what's the connection between Paraduma and Miriam? So just like the Paraduma forgave for the eagle, for the golden calf, because it purifies dead, which symbolizes evil. So the same thing, Mises, the death of Miriam also forgives for the sins. Then it says, Ahmed Abulazar says, why does it say the Mises Ad, and what's the connection? The Jud juxtaposed. Yeah, you like the word juxtaposed. What's the connection between the death of Aaron to the garments of the Kohen Gadol? Because the Pasuk says when Aaron died, it says Hashem told Moshe, take off the garments from Aaron and put them on Elazar, his son. Okay, so what's the connection between the garments and the death of Aaron? So it says, Ma big de kohuna kamachapin, just like the garments of the Kohanim. When the Kohen work in the temple, it forgives the sins through the sacrifices of Misas and Shal Tzadikim, Mechaperes. The same thing, the death of the righteous also causes atonement and forgiveness for sins. Okay, then the Gemara continues and says, Son Rabban, Rabban learnt. Meis pisayim, if somebody dies suddenly, this is called Misa Chatufa. It's called an abrupt death. Chola Yemechad Meis. What happens if you're sick one day and then you die? Zuhi Misa Dechufa. It's not an abrupt death. It's called a hastened death. By the way, Tesis over here says, he doesn't know what difference does it make. Tesis says here, Layadayna Maishnaho Minale. I mean, like, Tesis, I don't understand what the Gemara is talking about. What difference does it make? What difference does it make if you die an abrupt death, or a hastened death, or a slow death? I mean, like, what's the difference? Yeah, but Taisus seems to be saying, first of all, he says there's no source of it. The Gemara doesn't mean a source. Secondly, we'll see in the Gemara, one second. You bring up a good point. Then it says, it's a little bit different. Zuhi Mises Magefa. If a person was sick for one day and died, that's a plague death. A death from a plague. Shenema, because it says here, he quotes a pasuk. Ben Adam, the son of man, in the knee, behold, Nekech Mimchos Machmed Einecho B'Magef, I'm taking you, your darling, I'm taking your darling away from you in a plague. And then it says, in the same thing, Va'adaber ala'am ba'beker. Speak, I told this to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died. This is again that, you know, Yecheskel, that Hashem said that his wife is going to die. So you see, right away, if you die in the same day, it's called an epidemic. Then the Gemara says like this. The Gemara goes back to the first opinion. Says like this. Shnei yamim umes. What happens if a guy was sick for 2 days and died? That's called misa dechuya, a hurried death. So there's like this. There's hasten death, abrupt death, a hurried death, shleisha ga'ara. If a guy was sick for 3 days and dies, it's a death of rebuke. Arba nezifa, 4 days sick and dies is the scorn. Chamisha zui misa kol adam. Meaning, that's the normal death, and therefore the person's able to do tshuva. Meaning as follows. As we'll soon see in the Gemara, and this is what the Gemara is going to get into now. There are certain times you do Averis that you have to die. Certain Averis you die before 50, some Averis you die before 60, you know, all this stuff. So the Gemara says, after 5 days, it's not a sudden death. That means you die like a normal person. Not necessarily for sins. If a person dies an abrupt death, it means he did a sin that causes him right away to drop dead, so to speak. A little bit longer is not such a harsh sin. But up to 5 days, it's all connected to sin. If you're sick for 5 days or longer and you die, that's the normal death. In fact, the whole concept of illness, when did illness begin in the world? From Yaakov Avinu. The Gemara says that until Yaakov, nobody died. Nobody was sick. They sneezed when somebody had to die. They sneezed, the soul left the body through the nose, it went out, and that was it. God blew the neshama through the nose into the person. So if the neshama goes in through the nose, the pasuk says. So how does it go out? Well, through the nose. That's why when somebody sneezes, you say tzu gesund or gesundheit or, you know, labriut. Well, if your guy coughs, you don't say labriut. Why by a sneeze do you say labriut or gesundheit or whatever? So it says, because that is the way people used to die. People used to die, they sneeze, the neshama, so guy sneezes, you say labriut. Yaakov Avinu wanted to bless his children before he died. So he said to God, hey, I need a favor. Let me know beforehand that I'm dying, that I can call my children and bless them and so on. So God, the first one to be sick was Yaakov Avinu. So Hashem gave in to him, therefore it says, Hine Yaakov Avicho Chayla, your father is sick, and that's where the concept of illness began in the world. So the Gemara says, if a guy dies right away, it's not natural death. It's an abrupt death for sin. 5 days is a natural death. And the Gemara says like this. Amar Rab Chanan says, how do you know that 5 days is the normal way of dying? So it says like this. It says, in Karvo Yomecholomus, it says in Chumash, that Hashem says to Meshe Rabbeinu, your days are getting near to die. But he says like this, Hein Karvo Yomecho. So the Gemara says like this. Hein is Chad. Hein is one. And the Gemara is going to say, because in Greek language, Hein is one. So Hein means one day. Karvu, drawing close, is plural. It's another two. Yomecho is again plural, which is another two. So two plus one is five. Meaning, Hachamisha together, it's five. And the Gemara says, Hein is Chad. Hein is counted as one. Shekein b'loshin yavani, because in Greek they call one hein. That's the way they call the number one. Then the Gemara says like this. The Gemara continues about what age you are when you die, and this whole Gemara, the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, does not apply today. Meis b'chamishim shonom. If somebody dies, Taisus over here asks a very interesting question. The whole proof is from Meshe Rabbeinu about the 5 days. Meshe Rabbeinu was never sick.
he was warned 5 days
later. So Taisa says lav dafka doesn't mean sick, because Moshe Rabbeinu, it's just that God warned him that in 5 days you're dying. That's what it says, by the way. It's brought down in Sfarim that by tzaddikim, by many great people, 5 days before they die, they know they're going. Tzaddikim know 5 days before they're dying.
5 days, not 40 days.
Do you know for sure?
Me, first, I'm not a tzaddik and I didn't die, so I can't tell you.
But do they know for sure?
Do you ever hear a story about someone like that? Tzaddikim are on
the curve. I don't know. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. Meis b'chamishim, if somebody dies is at the age of 50, zuhi mises koris. That's the punishment of koris. Okay? Yishami says differently, but Bavli says koris is 50. Chamishim ishtayim shona, if you die at 52, that's misase shel shmul aramasi. That's the death of Shmuel. Meaning, the Gemara is going to explain why it mentions 52 years of Shmuel. Obviously, it wasn't cursed, because then Shmuel was died at 50. He says, Shishim, if you die at the age of 60, Zuhimise b'dei Shemayim, that's called dying at the hands of God. In other words, there's two deaths that God kills the person. One is Kares, and one is Misa b'dei Shemayim. Both God kills you. But the Gemara says over here like this, if you do an Aveda of Kares, you die before 50. You do an Aveda Misa b'dei Shemayim, you die before 60. In Yerushalmi, Taisa says, is the opposite. In Yerushalmi, it says, Karis is 60, and Misa b'dei Shemayim is 50. But our Gemara holds, Karis is 50, and Misa b'dei Shemayim is 60. So there are certain Avedas in the Torah that the Torah says, if you do, like I'll give you an example, eat Chometz and Pesach, or eat on Yom Kippur, the punishment is Karis. You do other Avedas, it's Misa b'dei Shemayim. So one is 50, one is 60. Then the Gemara says, how do we know this? Where do we learn this out from? Because it says in the Pasuk, Tove beklach eli kevet. You go to the grave at a mature age. And beklach begmatria sheet in have. And the word beklach is numerically 60. So therefore it says in the Pasuk, you're going to go to the grave beklach. What does beklach mean? At the age of 60, when you reach that age. Shivim, Sean, if you die at the age of 70, it's called seva, old age. Shmeinim, die at 80, it says gvuris. Because we say in davening every Shabbos from Tillim, Yemeshin Eseinu Behem Shivim Shana, our days are around 70, so that's called a good old age. In Begvuris, if you're more powerful, you die at Shmeinim. That's why the Gemara says that David HaMelech died at 70. Right? Why did David HaMelech die at 70? Because David HaMelech was born without any life to him. David HaMelech was supposed to be a stillborn. So it says in the Medrash that Hashem came to Adam Arishon and he said, hey, I have a special neshama about to come down in the world, but he's going to be born dead. You want to donate some life to him? So the Medrash says. So the Medrash says, Adam Arishon said, the Pasuk can tell him, Yemeshin Eseinu Bahem Shivim Shana, the days a man is 70 years. So Adam Arishon said, you know what? I'll donate 70 years. That's why Adam Arishon died at 930. Supposed to live to 1,000. He died at 930 because he donated 70 years of his life to David HaMelech, who died at the age of 70. Then there's another opinion that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov together gave him 70 years. From the amount they were supposed to live, and they actually lived, like Yaakov Vina lived 147. And Yitzchak, huh? Yeah, so there was, we learned in the Chumash, so they donated the also the life.
This is so hard to comprehend.
What?
Hashem determines when a person should live, but Hashem is coming to a person and asking them for life or somebody else. It's the weird concept of that.
Yeah, that Hashem has to borrow from Adam Rishon, he couldn't just give it to him. In Chassidus it explains. David HaMelech is the level of Malchus. Right? Malchus is, as the expression in Zayah, less love me gamor klum. Malchus has nothing of its own. Malchus only has what is given from the higher levels. Like Chochma donates to Malchus, so it becomes Chochma of Malchus. Bina donates, Chesed donates, Gvur donates, and that creates. Therefore, I'll give you an example. Malchus is the moon. The moon does not have its own light. The moon has only the light that it reflects from the sun. Because the moon, which symbolizes Malchus, has nothing of its own. So Kabbalistically, David HaMelech, by nature, has nothing of its own. It has to be given. So Adam Rishon, that had all the neshamas of all the generations in him, he had to be the giver to Malchus, which has nothing of its own. That's what David HaMelech says, Ki ani ve'ev yonani. We said this morning in Davening, right after Volatzin, in Tefillah by the Yom, right? Tefillah LaDavid. Ki ani ve'ev yonani. Ev means he has nothing. David HaMelech says, I'm nothing. I'm a poor man. David HaMelech is wealthy. He means I'm the level of Malchus that has nothing on its own, has to be given from above. So it wasn't Stam. Hashem, of course, could give him. But it had to be given from a person to David HaMelech to be Mashpia the 70 years.
Did he know that?
That he got the years from? Yeah.
Who, David HaMelech?
Yeah.
If he knew, what would he ask Hashem, let me know at the end of my days?
He wanted to know which day he's dying.
Oh, but not the...
Why does Mara not apply for today?
We're not done yet. Then he says like this. The Gemara said before, 50 is Karis, 60 is Misa B'dei Shemayim. So Rabbi explains, it doesn't mean exactly the day you hit 50, you drop dead. It means, Michamishim at Shishim Shana is Karis. From 50 to 60 is Karis. Why doesn't the Braisa say the years in between? Out of respect to Shmuel. Because you just said Shmuel died at 52. Right? But Shmuel really didn't die because of Karis. It says Shmuel died that he would not witness the death of Shaul HaMelech. So Hashem made Shmuel die earlier. But like this, I would think Shmuel died from Karis. So, but the Gemara said he didn't die from Karis. He died because Hashem, a different reason, made him die earlier. But the Gemara says the truth is from 50 to 60 is Karis. Now the Gemara says.
Except for Hashem has other reasons.
Right.
I said before.
Right. That's why we're not done from the Gemara. We're not done yet with the Gemara. Rav Yosef Kiava Bar Shitin. I'm not going to finish this. I thought we'll finish the Mishnah today. Bottom of the page, we ain't going to get there. Rav Yosef Kiava Bar Shitin. There's also a famous Gemara that the Rebbe brought down in Sichas. Rav Yosef Kiava Bar Shitin, when Rav Yosef was 60 years old, Avdullah Yemer Tovel Rabbanin. He made a party. His birthday party. When he hit 60, he threw a big party. Why did he throw a big party? Because he said, Nofkali Mikonis. I'm out of chorus range. Because if I didn't have aver of chorus, I would have died when I was 60. Right? The fact that I didn't die, thank God I'm out of the chorus league. Okay? So now the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye, so the student Abaye said to him, Nehi, the Nofer Klai Mikonis, the Shana, granted you left chorus of years, but chorus, the Yemer mean Apikmar, but you can also have a sudden chorus. Meaning, it's possible you could do an Aveda, and you're going to die in a second. So what are you so happy about? I mean, you could die at any given moment. He said to him, okay, at least half of it's good. The yearly chorus I'm out of. The daily chorus, yeah, I got to deal with. Okay? Now, there's a whole thing over here with this Rav Yosef throwing the party. Dr. Rebbe asks a question in Tanya. In the Geres Teshuva, Dr. Rebbe asks a very, getting late, but Dr. Rebbe asks, just to start it, at least next week we'll finish this whole thing up. The Gemara said, and Dr. Rebbe asks, and Tanya asks a question, if a person is supposed to die before they're 60, right, if they did Avedis, like a guy ate on Yom Kippur, you die before you're 60, right? The question is, there are people that eat on Yom Kippur every year and they're over 90. So how come they didn't die? If Karis means you die for those Avedis before you're 60, why didn't they die? Okay. So the Rebbe explains in Tanya as follows. That whole concept is only when people lived from Kedusha. When people lived from holiness, then when they did a sin, it cut the rope. So the lifeline was cut. But it gave them enough life to live until they're 60. But now we don't live from Kedusha, we live from evil. So if we're living from evil, we can keep on trucking very well from evil. Okay? That's what the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya. So then the question is, though, how did Rav Yosef know? Because after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, he says we don't live from Kedusha. Rav Yosef lived after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. How did he, why did he throw a party? Because he got out of Kedusha. Right? Maybe he's living from evil. If he's living from evil, he can live longer. Why is he throwing the party for? Just like everybody else. So the Rebbe in the Sikha brings a proof from a Gemara that Rav Yosef didn't need a doctor for many, 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 many years. So Rav Yosef knew that he lived from Kedusha. Because the Gemara says you're not allowed to live in a city where there's no doctor. The Gemara says forbidden to live in a city where there's no doctor. Because people get sick. And you have to live a natural life. The fact that Rav Yosef for 22 years, the Gemara says, didn't need a doctor, she showed that he knew he lived from Kedusha. And if he lived from Kedusha, he threw the party. Yeah.